The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say man, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say man, I shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. But David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you.
Okay, so this woman has now gone across the street. She threw something at the front door of the Chicago Theater that was on fire. I just called the fire department. They're sending somebody over here. The fire has gone out. Now she's in front of the Walgreens and pulling all the plants out of the planters on State Street. Obviously, a very disturbed person.
And throwing them at people.
Yes. Like, we've seen a lot down here. Nothing like this extreme.
No.
Literally had something burning at the front door of the Chicago Theater.
Now, that was scary.
Because if it ignited any further, yeah, you could take the building.
Downtown Chicago. And now it's time for Shot or No Shot. It's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app and make your lightning bets your exclusive same game parlays. Again, that fire has gone out. And if you want to play the ponies like me, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Snorling, who's absolutely not snorling now because he is wide awake.
How couldn't you be? Good morning, boys. What the hell is going on out there?
Now, again, now I used to work here weeknights between 7 and 10, so I saw a lot of different things. I haven't seen that. And again, we're working mornings, early mornings here, but at night, I've seen, like, I've been flashed four times, once by a woman. So it's happened here at the studios. But the idea that this woman is just tearing up stuff down here, it's pretty disturbing.
It's really sad.
Still to come, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. That'll be at 8:35. But now it's time for Shot or No Shot. Here's Shay.
All right, let's get to the Bears. Lucas Patrick commented on the criticism Justin Fields has faced this season. Patrick said, quote, "If we keep him clean or we give him a rush lane to sneak out, he's a very special player. We have to live up to the standard that we have in our room and really help him become the elite player that he is. You can't change my mind that the guy is not a future stud in this league." So my question, Shot or No Shot, if nothing else, there is a refreshing level of accountability in Hallis Hall this season.
I would say shot, but not just based on today. From the beginning, we found out what the lane that they wanted to pick. Accountability in that they are saying, this is where we're going to go as far as the organization. And I've given Eberflus credit several times this year, Shay, in that Eberflus has told you, hey, we got a young group here, and we got to teach them how to win. And so I like that he's saying that, because other coaches will come in here and say what they would say to the McCaskies. Oh, we got more than enough to win, John Fox. Oh, we got more than enough to win. No, you know what this is. We all know what this is. Now you got to move forward. So it's a shot for me.
Yeah, it's a shot. Absolutely. It's just disappointing. If you're going to flush the season, why is Robert Quinn even here? If you're not going to re-sign Montgomery, why was he even here? I mean, I don't know what exactly it is we're doing. And I understand they picked the lane they're trying to rebuild and add more talent. Then go get as much draft capital as you can. If you went to bed early last night and you wake up this morning going, I wonder if anything happened overnight. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey's a 49er now. And they got a ton of draft capital back. We don't have a Christian McCaffrey, but we could move some pieces. Shay.
All right, the Bears were back at practice yesterday and maybe considering a change at the center position, as both Lucas Patrick and Sam Mustipher had equal opportunities snapping the football. Sam Mustipher obviously has been under fire for his play at center. It has not been good. Lucas Patrick has also not been good playing guard. Initially signed him to play center. So my question, shot or no shot, moving Patrick to his more natural center position should significantly help the Bears line play.
That's a no shot. Because it all has to work in concert, Shay. It's got to be more than just Lucas Patrick. Like, that's just one key cog. But we got to, again, Cap, be able to reemphasize this point, reinforce this point, that it's not just about one guy. It's not about moving the checks, the chairs on the Titanic. You've got to be able to have everyone work in concert. Lucas Patrick moving is just one move, but what about the rest? What about inside? What about outside? It's just one move.
Yeah, and Lucas Patrick, let's not think that we've got Olin Krutz rolling in his prime here. Lucas Patrick graded a 12.2 pass protection 2 weeks ago. 12.2. There are people that want me to do a demonstration with Alex Brown where I try to stop him 10 times on the set at Football After Show. And would I get any kind of a grade if I just engaged him? Would I get a 12.2? 12.2 is pathetic.
Yeah.
Literally pathetic.
Agree. And it comes, this is kind of a two-part move because there was also the news this week. For the first time all season, the Bears had nothing listed on the injury report at camp, which means Alex Leatherwood may get worked into the rotation at guard this week.
I mean, again, I red flags go up when a team drafts a guy a year ago at number 17 overall, and they're so quick to walk away. Yep, you're out. Gone. He was a first-round pick. Gone. N'Keal Harry, first-round pick with Belichick. Gave him 3 years. Yes. Didn't work out. And yep. Bill talked about him yesterday. He said, we all tried. It didn't work.
I mean, and by the way, a keen talent evaluator in Belichick. So, yeah, guess he would know, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Shay.
The Bears have been linked to another Patriots wide receiver who finds himself on the outs in New England, Kendrick Bourne. Bourne caught 55 passes for over 800 yards last season, but he's found his way out of the Patriots offense this year. He's got just 14 targets on the year, and New England has made it clear he's available on the trade market. The price will likely be in the range of a late round, probably fifth round, sixth round pick. Shot or no shot, the Bears should be involved in trading for Bourne.
That's a no shot.
What did he say the price is?
Fifth round, did you say?
Yeah, it'll be a late round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that.
No.
I want to draft and develop my own guys, not someone else's failure. Well, if there's some great prospect and they can't get him signed and we're going to sign him doing it, that's different. It's not like this guy's production has been amazing.
So, Shay, what do you think? Because I would say no shot to that. But if you already have picked a lane... A perfect example is like Odell Beckham Jr., right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets picked up by Minnesota. That's official, right? Did he do the? Did he go through the training? His workout? Is he healthy enough to work with them?
I got to look and see how it ended up being evaluated.
I don't think he's officially signed with anyone, and there's still he probably can't play football until December.
I see. Okay. I'll give a name like that because that was on my social media yesterday. Say, why can't the Bears pick up someone like Odell Beckham Jr.? Well, you got to know where the Bears are. If you really are trying to tank and trying to be a top five team by saying, with this team, whatever happens, happens, but we're not going to add on. If that's where you want to go, that's fine. That's why any other pickup out there, like a trade for a talent now, would not make sense to me if you're already saying, hey, we are trying to look for next year.
Why would Odell Beckham Jr. come here? He wants to win.
Oh, I get it.
You could offer him whatever unless you're going to grossly overpay him, which you're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Odell Beckham Jr. is absolutely 100% going to go, yeah, thanks, I'm not interested. I'm trying to win a ring. Kendrick Bourne, 11 receptions on 14 targets for 156 and no touchdowns. Projected for the season, 31 receptions on 40 targets for 442 yards and no touchdowns. Yeah. You want my fifth-round pick? I'm passing. No, thank you.
Yeah, I would say no shot to that. Only because of where they're going, Shay. If you felt like you were close, okay, but you're not. So I would say no shot and pass to that. What's next?
All right, the 49ers yesterday altered the landscape of the NFC by giving up a massive haul of draft capital to get back Christian McCaffrey from the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey has nearly 400 yards rushing this season to go with nearly 300 receiving yards on over 30 catches and is a dream fit for the Kyle Shanahan offense. So my question, shot or no shot, the 49ers are now the biggest challenger to the Eagles in the NFC.
That is a shot. With Christian McCaffrey. And by the way, given so much to a running back, who does that? Running backs are a dime a dozen. Excuse me? Pardon me.
49ers went, Carmen and Yurko, take that. We're giving up a satchel of draft picks we're trying to win right now, because what it does give them, and I think Carmen Yurk would agree with this, it gives them another unicorn.
I get
that. Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, interchangeable parts. One guy can run. Oh, you want to put McCaffrey in the pass game? You want to put Debo in the back? You could do anything you want. They got weapons, man.
You can find any running back that can catch the football, too, though. These guys are a dime a dozen. Why would you give up your whole draft future for a running back? Who does that, Cap?
The 49ers.
Excuse me?
To be fair, you can't find a running back that catches the football 100 times.
Well, that depends on the system. Yes, you can. Actually, yes, you can.
Matt Forte did that.
The running back position is not just right between the tackles, Shay. Yes, you can make that guy interchangeable. Ramon Harris did that. Not as many catches, of course, but he was the ultra back.
Correct.
You do multiple things.
Correct.
Stop. I mean, again, just because you say it in absolutes doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. The running backs they're not the feature part of the offense anymore, but they are part of the offense. The idea that you could just run anybody between the tackles and you'd be able to get yardage and meaningful yardage is just BS. I mean, you have to be able to look at the running game and say, yes, it's part of the offense. People are pushing it to the side and say, only wide receivers. That guy's special. Running backs matter too. So Carmen Yurko will not be on today because of this trade in mourning of this deal with
CMAC. Correct. They have called in and asked for a mental health day.
Oh.
They will not be in because of this CMAC trade.
Can I agree with both of you? I agree that running backs matter. I think running backs on a second contract matter significantly less. You got to hit the rookie running back and get the most out of them on the rookie deal and then move on.
Right.
Frank Gore on line one.
He wants to jump in.
What is that? 45. Wade Boggs, because he hung around for 30 years and got 5 yards or 3.5 yards of carry for the last 7 years of his career.
Trying to get that Hall of Fame, man. Trying to get in. You understand?
You can write HOF after your name. You're guaranteed, as Hamp told me, make a lot of money.
But, Shay, there's the...
I drive a Chevy.
The conference... Hamp? Cap? Drive a Chevy?
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, Shay, that you think that McCaffrey is the most special running back we have in the league, correct? In the NFL. Would you say that? Or is that Elliott or Barkley?
Definitely not Zeke.
Barkley?
Maybe Saquon. Probably McCaffrey, yeah.
Okay. So was the juice worth the squeeze? Should they have traded that much capital? That's a lot, by the way. That's a haul. You have decided to pick a lane and say, we're going to ride with McCaffrey. Never mind about our first round pick, second round pick, third. Is this guy Ricky Williams?
If we see him in a bridal dress with the head coach of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, then he might be.
I'm just raising my arm in victory today because, yes, the running back does matter. That to the point where you're making a 1989-like deal.
That was unbelievable.
for McCaffrey. That's all I'm saying.
That was unbelievable.
Shay.
Hoodie, let's get to the picks.
All right, that'll be coming up. And also coming up this hour, an opportunity for you to get a Hawthorne package giveaway. $100 in food and beverage credits, $25 wagering vouchers. We've got live racing programs, Hawthorne-branded items, all part of Hawthorne this hour. When you hear Secretariat run through our studio, make sure you're the fifth caller, 312-332-3776. That is our telephone number. Don't forget Courtney Cronin at 835. But our picks on football next.
Love you, Secretariat.
Still dead.
It's Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And the ESPN Chicago app, it is time to go around our football picks for a Football Friday, college and pro. And don't forget, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears at 8:35. But here is Shay Norling to lead us off as we go through our picks for the weekend. All right, Shay.
Snore it up, kid. Hoodie, why don't you update the standings before we get into this quickly?
Well, it says here that right now, other producer is leading with a 24-28-3 record. Cap, other producer, followed by Cap in second place, 23-29-3. Shay has moved up to 22-28-3 in third place. And Jay Hood pulling up the rear at 21-31-3.
Not good.
2-8 last week. That's because this whole deal is culturally biased, knowing that I am a college football fan and not a pro. We turn over to Shay Norley now with the picks.
I thought you were going a totally different direction. Well, I'm glad we landed on college and pro.
Oh, it's true. That's true. Tell him. Charlie, tell him. Charlie?
That's right, Jay. That's Jake.
All right, go right ahead.
Let's kick off the picks. Number 14, Syracuse. Here's some college for you. Number 14, Syracuse at number 5, Clemson. In Death Valley, Clemson laying 13.5 points. I'm going with the Tigers. Death Valley is a horribly hard place to play. Syracuse has won all their games close at home. So give me the Tigers in Death Valley inside 2 touchdowns. I'll take it.
All right, bring the music down a little bit, Charlie, so I can hear the picks. Thank you. I believe I will go to Syracuse here. I think the game will be closer than the experts think. You got to admit, Shay, Clemson has not been overly impressive this year, even though the number 5 team in the country. I think Cuse keeps it close. So give me Cuse.
Yeah, I'm a Dabo guy. I'm going Dabo over Dino Babers. I'm laying the 13.5 lot of lumber. Clemson in Death Valley rolls by 21.
All right, Charlie.
Syracuse under Dino Babers has been has played Clemson very close recently. I just think 13.5 points is a lot for a Syracuse team that I think is actually pretty good. So I'm going to take Syracuse to cover.
All right, Shay.
Number 9, UCLA at number 10, Oregon. Oregon laying almost a full touchdown, -6. Home Bo Nix, different than road Bo Nix. The home guy, he's actually good. And outs in stadiums, really tough to play at. Give me the Ducks.
Okay, give me UCLA, first of all, I'll take the total, the over in that spot, but also I like UCLA to keep it close against Oregon. I'm hoping, cross my fingers, for a really good game between those two, but I like UCLA.
I think this is going to be a super competitive game. I don't think UCLA wins. I think the Ducks get it done. However, I'm going to take the lumber. I'm taking the 6.
All right. I think we know where Charlie's going.
Let's go, Ducks, baby. I mean, I'm wearing the Ducks shirt. I have to. I have to pick them. Let's go, Ducks, -6, Bo Nix. Let's roll, boys.
All right, there's a nice pick for Portlandia. We go now to Shay.
Final college game on our slate, number 17, Kansas State on the road at TCU, number 8. And TCU, a 3.5-point favorite. K-State, if you haven't watched them, which you probably haven't, they have Deuce Vaughn, one of the best players in America. I actually think the 3.5 is too many points. Give me the Wildcats.
I like the Wildcats also to actually win the game against TCU.
Really? Going Wildcats. Who's Georgia got this weekend that you'll be locked in on?
The bye week.
They're going to beat the bye as well. Not part of our picks, though, but go ahead.
Have you guys played anybody of substance?
Yep.
Nobody.
Oppositions.
I am going to take the Kansas State Wildcats plus the lumber. I don't think they win the game. I think they lose on a field goal. But I'll take the lumber.
I'm going to take Kansas State here. Like Shay said, Deuce Vaughn is a great running back. I also love the way Taylor Martinez has been playing. Give me Kansas State right now.
On to the Shield. Giants head to Jacksonville, taking on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. Jags a 3-point favorite. And I'm going with Jacksonville at home. The wheels come off for Dable and Daniel Jones down in Florida this weekend.
You know, this might be a good game, actually, between these two. I think the Jaguars win. Only because it just, this NFL, man, it's a coin flip. So I think the Jaguars win the game and cover.
You know, I was going to take the route of riding with Jacksonville, but they have disappointed me the last couple of weeks in how they've played. I'm all in on Joe Shane, the GM, and Brian Daboll. They should be Chicago Bears. They're not. They wanted the bear job.
Oh, man.
I roll with the G-men.
I swear, your logic is like betting on college basketball. I like that coach and that program. Give me Cincinnati. Excuse me? How about the teams? Anything about the teams? Nothing? Just the coach and the GM. Huh?
I'm rolling with the coach and GM.
Okay.
Take that.
I like Coach K and Duke. Take that.
Take that.
Uh-huh. Charlie.
I think I've pigeonholed myself into the Jaguars a little bit too much here with that overreaction from a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I do think the Giants are a little...
Yeah, thanks a lot. I bet a bunch of money because of you on them.
Still early.
I do think the Giants are a little bit smoke and mirrors at this point. I think Jacksonville has a lot of like really good, legitimate talent. I'm going to take Jacksonville to cover the 3 points here.
All right, next.
All right, we have the Chiefs, 2.5-point favorites on the road, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Christian McCaffrey could play. Probably not full go. No word on how many snaps he would get if he does. Regardless, I think the 49ers should be a short favorite here, and I'm going to take San Francisco.
I abstain. Cap?
You can't abstain.
Well, I don't know if McCaffrey's playing or not. Now, you know,
none of us do either.
Well, then, sorry.
Drop a pair and make a pick.
Next pick. Sorry. Next.
All right, we're getting
going in as an auto loss.
Then. Yeah, give him an auto loss.
No, actually, that's just a joke. The 49ers. So I'm thinking maybe a handful of plays, right? For McCaffrey. I mean, it's a new week for him.
If you're going to play, play.
I think so.
Strap it up and let's go.
Pardon me?
Strap it up and let's go.
Okay, that's something different. I like the 49ers to win the game, Cap.
Yeah, I think it's going to take time to acclimate him into the complex offense of Kyle Shanahan.
It's running the ball. It's not like splitting an atom. He's running the ball. We're not sure because, well, we have to open up lanes. It's running the football. Stop.
I'll take the Chiefs. Best bet on the board.
Acclimate them.
Take that.
Put one foot in front of the other and run. That's what he's got to acclimate it to, right?
I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah.
Take that.
I'm also going to go Chiefs, Cap. I just don't like betting against Patrick Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs in almost any situation, especially against San Francisco this week.
C-Mac on a play.
Seahawks at Chargers. Chargers a 5-point favorite in Los Angeles, and I'm going with Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
I like the Chargers to win the game.
You know, I think the Chargers are going to win this game by double digits. Wow. I look at the quarterback matchup. I look at the abilities at home. I think the Chargers, every analytics site I look at, thinks the Chargers are due for a resurgent offensive performance. Seattle's been better than we thought. I am going Chargers.
I'm going to ride solo here. I'm going with the Seahawks. I think the Chargers have been kind of a mess in a lot of ways, and the way Geno Smith has been playing has been fun. I mean, their starting cornerback they paid a bunch of money to just got benched for the Chargers, and Justin Herbert's banged up. I'm taking the Seahawks here.
The Cleveland Browns go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. The Ravens have blown 3 double-digit leads. They are a 6.5-point favorite here. I think when you're getting the double-digit leads, that's more important than blowing them. So give me the Ravens to cover the 6.5 against Cleveland.
That's a truly awful pick. Go ahead, Hoodie.
What's wrong with the Ravens? Tell us why.
I think that Cleveland is getting back Myles Garrett and Clowney. They are going to be ramped up and ready to go to try and take down Lamar Jackson and the Raven. I think the Browns win the game outright. I'm taking the Browns.
Now,
and the points.
I like the Browns, but I believe that the Ravens will win the game. I think it's closer than the 6.5. All right, Charlie?
The Browns cannot stop the run. And you know who has run the ball pretty dang well the last year has been the Ravens. I'm going to take the Ravens here to cover the 6.5.
All right, Jets at Broncos. The Broncos, a 1-point favorite. This opened preseason, 8.5. As recently as 2 weeks ago, it was 5.5 for the Broncos. I think this is a huge overreaction to the Jets. God have mercy on my soul, I'm taking Denver.
You are. So am I. is it still one? Is it still one or
still
pick 'em? One? I like the Broncos.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to ride with the Broncos, but I am. I'm not a Russell Wilson guy. I don't hear great things about him as a teammate.
How about his front office? What about that?
I don't hear great things about him up there either with his office, and he gets dressed in his own little... Stop. Be a dude. And I'm going to ride with the Broncos simply because they're at home. I hope the Jets beat their ass. Go ahead, Chet.
You know what's really fun? Betting against Russell Wilson this year. I'm taking the Jets.
Packers -4.5 in Washington taking on the Commanders. I think this is an easy buy low spot for the Packers. I don't care if it's Heinicke or Wentz for Washington. I'm taking the Pack.
I like the Packers to win. Yes.
Yep. I like the Packers as well. They have to win. I believe they will win.
And 4 now, for 4, give me the Packers.
And now the dramatic pause in the music. the dramatic pause. What happens with the big game?
The Bears in New England taking on the Patriots. The Patriots an 8-point favorite. I can't get to 8. May God have mercy on my soul. I'm betting the Bears.
Just, I mean, for no reason. He's a Patriots fan taking the Bears.
Yeah. He's just doing it to say, look at me.
No, I actually have money on this. I can't get to 8.
Why? Is it, if Zappi was a quarterback, would you go with that?
No. If you go look at the games the Patriots have played, they were up 6-0 on the Lions, and Dan Campbell lost his mind in field goal range and went for it on 4th and freaking 9. It was a scoop and score that made it 13-0, and you handed confidence to the Patriot offense that couldn't move the ball. That if that's a 6-3 game, it's a totally different outcome. I don't buy what the Patriots are selling. Lions defense is horrible. Browns defense is horrible. Bears defense isn't. I can't get to 8. Give me the Bears.
Bears defense is horrible. They're dead last in the league against the run. That means you're horrible.
And you work here in Chicago. Yeah, and should know that. I like the Patriots to win the game and to cover the 8. Go ahead.
I will take the Patriots as well. I think they win the game something like 27-13, something like that.
I don't think the Patriots, the Bears aren't very good, but I don't think the Patriots are all that good. I think the Bears can cover 8 points here.
We always look at the Bears and like do this, like not holding the fence, like, not bad, not good, good enough to cover. Stop. Have we seen how bad this offense is? Come on, man. It's amazing. Okay. There you have it.
Good luck.
That's our picks for college and pro. Courtney Cronin next on Chicago's Home for Sports. Charlie.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're with us here. That same ESPN Chicago app, you could find the unnamed MMA podcast with Jordan Sherwood and Adam Abdallah. They've got a special interview up there right now. If you're an MMA fan, you love your mixed martial arts, check out the unnamed MMA podcast, available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on ESPN 1000 here on this Football Friday. Good morning, Courtney.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Double C?
Not too much. What is ERC, Hoodie? It sounded like my initial CRC. What is ERC, tax credit that you were laughing about in the break?
No, it wasn't about Omega. We weren't laughing.
Employee retention credit.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it sounded like my initials at first, and I got confused, so I'm sorry. No.
But we would never cackle at Omega tax credits.
We were cackling at something that took place earlier this morning outside our window.
Yes. There was a lady that that wanted to show her, her religion. But she had perfect penmanship, though. It was amazing. She had great penmanship.
Over the window.
She wrote in her window. Yeah, so whatever. Nonetheless, we want to ask you your thoughts from Bill Belichick. We haven't talked to you about this. So we heard the Bill Belichick press conference where he tried to sandbag the Bears and had all those flowery thoughts about the Bears. What was truth? What was not truth? What Belichick said in those 1,003 words?
I mean, he does this every time, so I don't really know. I mean, when you're trying to parse through when he's talking about the Bears being a very explosive offense, I mean, they've had some explosive runs. Like, we can look through a little bit more of that with Khalil Herbert. I think they made it a 63-yard run last week from the Thursday game. And obviously, Justin Fields had that long scramble to set themselves up for a touchdown at the end of the game. So, yeah, I mean, this is the 32nd passing offense in the NFL. They're not that explosive. But Bill Belichick, this is what he does. He keeps tons of praise on his opponent, and regardless of who they are, and I just somehow, for some reason, he keeps doing it. I just think that for him, this was his way of not having to talk about Mac Jones versus Bailey Zappi and whether Mac's going to get his job back this week. for less time, if he would dedicate more time to just talking about the Bears and all this fruitless stuff that's coming out of his mouth, then he would have less, less availability to answer questions about his own quarterback situation.
As I talked to Tom Curran yesterday, who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston, he is convinced from people he's talked to, in his opinion, Mac Jones 100% is starting at quarterback. Does it matter who starts at QB, or do you still, even if it's Bailey Zappi, give them a decided advantage against our club?
I don't think it matters, to be quite honest. And my colleague, Mike Reese, reported the same thing, that if Mac continues on this trend, barring any sort of setback, he will be starting on Monday night. And I just think you're seeing the Patriots' defense of old. And who's going to be trying to block Matthew Judon? Good luck. That to me is like the game defining, like where this game could shift pretty considerably, because we already know the Bears have issues in pass protection, and that's been a struggle for them the last couple, first six games of the season. And certainly we saw Fields get sacked a ton against Washington and hit, which was, when I saw the injury report yesterday, complete shock and awe that he was not on there and nobody was on there. But nonetheless, I think that that's probably where this game gets decided. And the Patriots defense, I mean, in terms of the takeaways too, they've been really opportunistic in forcing those. So I think more than just quarterback stuff and Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones, whoever, it'll probably be a game that's decided by what they do up front.
What do you we saw this big move with Christian McCaffrey at right here as we are on the precipice of the trade deadline. Do you think the Bears would do something by the time we get there?
To that magnitude?
No, to any
buyer?
No, to any magnitude. Do you think the Bears will be involved in any way in the trade deadline?
Yeah, I've heard the rumors out there about Robert Quinn. I need somebody to sell me on that one and make it make sense, because you have a defensive end, linebacker, whatever system he ends up in. You have somebody who has one sack this season, and you don't have any other pass rush really outside of Robert Quinn. So what are you getting for him? Are you getting a fifth round pick? Are you confident that you can get something that high? Is it going to be a sixth or a seventh? Is it worth it to sell off, a big part of your pass rush when you don't have much else behind him? So I just don't think the asking price is going to get met for someone like Robert Quinn. And I understand he has several years left on his contract, so he makes more sense for me than someone like a David Montgomery, a Roquan Smith. As well as Roquan Smith is playing, he's going to be a free agent next year. So no team's going to be trying to trade for somebody who's going to be hitting the open market in a couple months. But I don't think they're going to be that active. And that's just my personal opinion of looking at it through the lens of you're not getting much back. And I understand Ryan Poles wants to build through the draft, but the draft capital you'd be getting, it's like, how do you survive in the short term and in that same breath, like, prepare yourself for what you're going to do this offseason, long term? Like, you got to be able to get through at that point. It's going to be 9 more games of the regular season. Like, that's asking a lot if you don't have any pass rush, which right now we know that their pass rush has really struggled, even with Robert Quinn here.
So I think we're forgetting, though, he has a cap hit of $18.2 million and a dead cap going into next year of $8.4 million. That's a $10 million savings that I can add to spend more money in terms of acquiring a player, free agency. The draft pick, fine, whatever. David Montgomery is not going to. I don't see a scenario he's here unless he takes a team-friendly deal. So why would you not move him for whatever you could get?
I mean, it's not talking about the Bears in this sense. It's other teams realizing that this guy's going to be available potentially, like you're alluding to, in a couple months.
But they want to win now. If it's Buffalo, I want to win now.
And you think David Montgomery is the missing piece to do that? Am I missing something here? Is that the talk around the league that a running back here who's had an okay season, not been spectacular, and he's been injured too, that he's a missing piece on anybody's roster? I haven't heard that, but like, I get your point. And to the bigger point here, I think this team is going to, looking at what actually works on offense, Khalil Herbert is averaging 6.4 yards per rush. They're a really effective running team with him leading the way. And what Matt Eberflus said earlier this week, that they kind of ride the hot hand, I think that's been evident in everything that we've seen. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do end up moving on from someone like David Montgomery and going with a cheaper option, a younger option, Khalil Herbert. You're starting to see teams realize the value of running backs and being able to draft well in later rounds and utilizing those players for what they are on their rookie deal. That's kind of the trend we're seeing. I mean, I know Christian McCaffrey, and we got on that because of the trade that happened in the middle of Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. He's the outlier there, but I think that that's probably what the Bears' plan is going to be, considering what we've seen the first six games of this season.
And I'm yesterday years old when I realized that Kevin White's still in the league. How about that?
Yeah, me too. I
you cover the league. Wait a minute.
I know. I mean, where was he the last couple of years? I mean, I was shocked whenever I saw everybody tweeting about it during the Cardinals game last night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing. These guys can disappear for a couple of years and then pop up on a team that just walloped the Saints last night.
So yeah, awesome. Crazy. Hey, have a great weekend, okay?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to Courtney Monday as we get ready for the Bears and the Patriots.
That's it.
Coming up, a fun game that we're going to play that you'll enjoy. Next on Cap and
Bring it on.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We'll talk about the Bears coming up at 9 o'clock. Also still to come, some thoughts about Zach LaVine. Is he playing soon? What are we going to find out about Zach LaVine? We'll talk about him momentarily. Cap's got some news on Zach LaVine. We'll give us in our next half hour here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. What's the problem?
Nothing.
Okay, allow me to tease the way I want to tease.
Okay.
If you're going to yap about it in the meeting, you're going to talk about it on the air.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay, then. Oh, look at me cross-eyed. I know what I'm doing here. For the most part, as we turn down to Shay Norling. Shay, what's this deal we're doing here?
Well, Cap is going to be at an event. Cap, would you like to tell the people where you're going to be on Sunday?
I'll be at the Crazy Pour in Villa Park on North Avenue.
The Pour.
P-O-U-R.
Oh.
And I will be wagering on horses at the Club Hawthorne betting bar that's in the Crazy Pour. I'll be betting on football. They're giving me a $1,000 bankroll to bet horses with. Whatever I win, they're going to split among every single person at the appearance.
All right, cool. So, Shay, what's your point here?
So that's a great event, but Cap, would you say horse racing is one of your favorite things in sports?
Yes.
So we want to put Cap's horse racing knowledge to the test, and we are going to play a game here. Cap versus Hoodie in Racehorse or Rock Band.
Let's do it.
Bring it first, on. Assault. Is Assault a racehorse or a rock band?
That's a racehorse. Assault was a quality thoroughbred. Take that.
That's a horse.
You are both correct. That is a racehorse. It is 1-1. Second, Rambling Willie. Is that a racehorse or a rock band? Yep. Rambling Willie.
Rambling Willie sounds like a band.
Rambling Willie won the Hambletonian multiple times. He's actually not a thoroughbred. He's a sulky. It's a horse.
Is it a horse?
It is a racehorse.
The driver was Bob Farrington. Take that.
Cap takes a 2-1 lead. Cloudboat. Is Cloudboat a racehorse or a rock band?
Sounds like a band to me.
Yeah, I'm going band as well. There is not a horse named Cloudboat that did anything of substance.
It is a rock band. 3-2 to Kaplan. Number 4, London Grammar. London Grammar.
That is a band.
That sounds like a band to me.
It is a rock band. Boys are doing well. Cap, I'm rather impressed.
Well, he's an avid gambler.
No kidding. 4-3 to Cap. Well, you knew the jockey of Rambling Willie. That was...
He actually is called the driver on a sulky, but yes.
Number 5, Widow Speak. Widow Speak. Rock band or racehorse?
Why do I think that's a horse? You know, I'm looking at it, what it would look like on a program. Because there's only so many letters.
Correct.
Why do I think that's a horse? I feel like that's a horse.
I'm going rock band.
It is a rock band. Good. Cap, 5-3 lead.
Okay.
Sunday Silence. Rock band or racehorse?
I think that's a horse.
That is a horse.
I think that's a horse.
Sunday Silence is a horse.
Okay.
Van Helsing. Racehorse or rock band? Van Helsing.
Sound like a band. Sound like something I would be at the top of a card over at Lala. That's what I think.
That is a band.
Yeah.
That is actually a racehorse.
Van Helsing.
Van Helsing is a racehorse.
Okay.
Grand Bell Fisher. Rock band or racehorse? Grand Bell Fisher.
Sounds like a rock band.
Yeah, I'm going to go band as well.
That is a band.
Okay.
The National.
Great paper.
Rock band.
Frank DeFord in the back. So yeah, great.
He was awesome.
Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
Rock Tom band Keegan. Or racehorse?
Tommy Keegan.
Or fine newspaper.
A fine paper, Cap. Yeah. You remember it?
Yeah.
When it went to the newsstand to get it. What was it now? The National?
The National.
That's a band.
That's... I'm trying to think in the PA guy would never say the National. I'm thinking that would be a band.
That is a band. 6-4 to Kaplan.
Okay.
Ghost Zapper.
Sounds like a... Ghost Zapper. Sounds like a band.
Yeah, that's a horse.
Sounds like a band.
Final answer?
Okay, I'll go horse.
Cap, that's a horse?
Yes.
It is a racehorse. Ghost Zapper is a racehorse. 7-5 to Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Tiny Meat.
That sounds like a band.
That's,
Princess Tiny Meat.
That's a band.
Uh-huh.
It is a rock band.
Okay.
It's 8-4.
5.
Trouble Times 2.
Trouble Times 2. What do you think? Horse?
I'm going to go rock band on this.
What do you think? Trouble Times 2? Rock band.
That is a racehorse.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
But Kaplan wins this game.
Yeah.
Well done, Cap. The horse racing knowledge stands tall.
Thank you, sir. I love it. I watch. There's times I don't even bet. I just sit and watch TVG. I'm amused by it.
I like it because it goes around the country.
It's everywhere.
You can see. No, I don't mean you can see it across the country. I mean they go from place to place.
Yeah.
And different the way the track is set up.
Yeah, Mike Joyce to this guy to
camera
that
angles,
guy.
Just different.
Let's go to Brittany at Churchill Downs in the paddock, and she's talking to Mike Maker, the trainer. Yeah, totally into it. Love it.
All right. Good
Brett
stuff.
And I love that.
All right. Wait. We knew it was a rebuild. So why are reactions to the Bears season so negative? We will talk about that and more
<Not again.
laughs> in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.